All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm with the actor Sean Patrick Flannery. You've seen him on hit movies like Powder, Boondock Saints, one of my favorite movies, and recently Nefarious. Now, Nefarious, to me, especially with the spiritual warfare going on right now, you knocked it out of the park with that. I mean, it was just one of the best movies, I think, for me personally, and a lot of other people, Jim Caviezel included, by the way. Says that this is one of his favorite movies, Nefarious. And I have to say it is for me, especially with everything that's going on in Hollywood right now, everything being exposed, the spiritual warfare being waged on humanity, Nefarious and Sound of Freedoms, those two movies in 2024 knocked it out of the park. Sean, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, brother, and really thank you for the kind words, man. That means a lot. Really does.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. When I watch that movie, it hit home. And that's one of those movies that I can watch over and over and over again because it has such a strong spiritual meaning. I know you're a Christian, and how important was your faith for this movie? Because to play this role, you were in Nefarious, you were possessed by a demon, correct?
Yes. And look, how important was my faith? My faith is important in every aspect of my life. It was the way I was raised. And you go through life and things that were said to you, the way you were raised, things that your parents put in you, you go through a phase of like questioning and then finding your own belief in it, So I've been a Christian, I've been a follower of Jesus Christ since I was young, since as far as I can remember. And it got re-solidified, when I got older and I started to look into those questions I had, and it went, whoa, holy cow, this is the only answer for me is God. That can be the only answer. The only way I can explain all the things that I'm seeing is God, Jesus Christ. And I raised my kids the same way. So when I was handed this script, I'll give you a little backstory. So I did a movie with Chuck and Carrie. They are the writers and directors of Nefarious. I did a movie with them in 2004. A wonderful script, a little independent film, and it came at the culmination of filming that. I told them, I said, "Guys, I had a wonderful time working with you. I would do a Fruit Loops commercial for y'all." Well, 4 years ago, they called and they said, "Hey, Flannery, we got a Fruit Loops commercial." And I said, okay, let's do it. They said, well, hang on, let me send you the script. You read it and you let us know what you think. So they sent me the script. I read it. And that night after I read it, I brought my wife in. She goes, "Well, how's the script?" I said, "I'll tell you something. Number one, I have to do this movie. Number two, it's the best thing I've ever read, the most well-manicured script I've ever read. And number three, if I do it, I'll never work in Hollywood again." you live your life as a Christian hoping for an opportunity to do something like this that speaks from the same mouthpiece and kind of enunciates the same values, ethics, morals, conveys the same set of ideals. And this was one for me, so I'm honored. It was a privilege to be able to take on that role. And I hope it spoke to people. I think it's the most important film I've ever done in my life.
I'll say that what I noticed with this film is, especially with what the climate that we're in right now, with evil just seeping out of every crack and every cranny coming out into the open, this movie shined a light on really what's happening with the spiritual warfare here in America, the whole damn planet. We're seeing it politically. Trump is exposing it. We're seeing it in our institutions, religious institutions. We're seeing it everywhere. And this movie shined a light on it. And so my question to you now is, how did you, being a Christian man, a follower of Jesus Christ, how did you take on this role? I mean, this is a serious role to play. And if you're a Christian and you're a believer, you know that this is not an easy task to say, okay, I'm going to play a guy that's in prison and possessed by demons. I mean, that's dangerous territory right there, man. I give you all the props in the world for that. That's crazy. I mean, you said I'm going to take on a demon. I mean, is there a chance that you could really get possessed?
Let me address that, because a lot of people say that's dangerous. If you are a believer at your core, and you really believe all the things that you say, I don't think it's dangerous at all. I think you go into that with the armor of God. I think you go into that conveying a story to convince people of the reality that you believe. I don't think there's a danger in me. Look, I'm not a method actor. I don't need to live on the street for a week to play a homeless person. I can imagine what that must be like. I don't need to urinate on myself and defecate on myself and to play a mentally disturbed person that's wandering the streets. I can imagine what that must be like. I don't think there's a danger of staying in a place that I went because I never left home. For me, I don't want to pull the curtain back and show the world that there's really no wizard, but really there's no wizard. Everything that I did was on the script. What was my preparation? I read the script. I read the script and I tried to put as much reality into that and bring it to life that I could. But there was not a molecule of my being that was left behind. Every time they said cut, I mean, they'll tell you on set. My phone would ring in the middle of a take. I'd be, B-b-b-b-b-. Because I'm married, I got a wife and kids. My phone never goes on shut up. If it rings and it's my wife, I answer. I don't care if I'm in the middle of a take or anything. I'm like, hang on, hang on. Oh, hey, oh, you're at the turn. Okay, so you won. Your match. Okay, great. Let me call. Let
That's
call you right
awesome.
back in the
Yeah,
middle of the
that's
take, and
awesome.
I'd hang up. I'm not lost in a moment. I don't leave. This method stuff is a bunch of garbage. And don't get me wrong, I really feel like actors because I've had real jobs in my life. I had my first paper out when I was 8 years old. I worked at Church's Fried Chicken. I threw papers. I moved pianos for Atlas Van Lines. I dug ditches. I literally put culverts under driveways. So this is the easiest job I've ever had in my life. I feel like actors need to make it seem more difficult.
More than it
Well,
is.
I lost 8 years off my life playing that role. No, you didn't, bro. No, you didn't. There was a craft service table. You had a honey wagon, hot and cold running water 24/7. You were charioted to and from the set. It's not difficult. I didn't leave any part of me behind. I didn't loan any part of me to anybody. I did my best to make believe a fictitious written part to convey a story to the masses. And I hope I did it well. And I hope I can do it as well as the people that claim they left part of their soul and a role. But every time I hear this, I'm like, give your head a shake, dude. You didn't sacrifice
I
part of your
agree with you.
soul. Like, get out of here with that. My phone rang. I immediately knew who I was. I wasn't like, oh, sorry, honey. What happens if you play a
Like
man that's having an
actors take
affair?
themselves way too serious. It's
They
just
take it way
ridiculous.
too serious. What if you're having an affair in a movie? Do you really do it? Because of your method? If your wife calls you on the phone, do you go, oh, sorry, I didn't recall your phone. I didn't return your call for 2 days because I was lost in a character? Get the fuck out of here and give your head a shake.
So Hollywood's got to despise you, bro, because you're cut from a different kind of fabric. You know what I mean? You're not playing ball with the people that want you to play ball. In other words, when I see people that sell out, you're one of those people that have not sold out. Taking roles like this proves to me your grit. So how do you feel about, are you blackballed in Hollywood? I mean, taking a role like this, bro, you're going against the grain.
You know, look, I don't know. I've certainly never seen a list. I do know that I really don't work outside of like-minded individuals. People don't offer me work. And if anybody out there thought Nefarious was an above average performance, it certainly didn't parlay itself into more job offerings. So that's all I know. I don't know if I'm
I mean, I don't think
blackballed.
it could because Hollywood is so it's going in this direct. It's almost to me, sorry, but very satanic, and especially now with what we're seeing in Hollywood, the devil, Satan controls Hollywood, man. I'm sorry, that's what I see. I'm sure you see it the same. Jim Caviezel sees it the same. It's just a dark, dark world.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. What I'm saying is I've never seen that list. I have ideas. Look, if you're never invited to somebody's birthday party for 20 years in a row, ultimately you go, okay, that person doesn't like me. They don't want me at their party. I do know that there's a lot of those parties out there that I'm not invited to. And I would think I would like to think, without sounding arrogant, I would like to think a performance like this would make people go, hey, maybe he's not too bad at his craft. Maybe he'd be better at other roles as well. But those offers haven't come from the main Hollywood. They've come from like-minded individuals. But I was raised a certain way by my dad and my granddaddy to be true to myself. And the only way that I can do that is, you can achieve wealth one of two ways. You can increase what you earn or reduce what you need. And look, if I was reliant on the next job 24/7, I'd have to take those roles. But I've reduced what I need. I live a very frugal existence. We live in Oklahoma. We live within our means, and it allows me to do things that I care about and to withstand those gaps in employment. It's
So,
the only way that I can make sense.
for you to pick a role, I mean, it has to be the right role. The role has to mean something to you. So you'll wait it out. You'll go years maybe without taking a part in something. What do you do in that time off? Like, what, I mean, how do you consume your time?
Well, I'm a dad. I mean,
Okay.
I'm a dad 24/7. My main job will always be I'm a husband and a dad, period. Hollywood will never come before that. There is no job. There is no acting job. And look, at the end of the day, I know I'm smart enough to be able to manage a Walmart if I have to. I am quite okay with that. I will provide for my family. It's certain I haven't had to get a real job in 30 years, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But make no mistake, nothing comes before me being a dad. And me being a husband, period. Nothing will ever come before that.
That's beautiful. Did you, and this is out of my curiosity, first of all, are you upset that they didn't get the respect and attention this movie deserves? Because believe me, like I said, and I'm not blowing hot air up your ass, this movie was one of the best movies I've ever seen. And that's why I seeked you out to get an interview. I was like, I gotta get this guy on the show because to me, everything has a spiritual meaning. So does it irk you in any kind of way that it didn't get the attention it deserves? Like, it should have won an Oscar, in my opinion. You and the movie Sound of Freedom and Nefarious, man, head to head right there. Does it bother you that it didn't get the attention it deserves?
A lot of that stuff has stopped bothering me. The bothering has been squelched a little bit, minimized. I'll tell you, I made a comment to my wife as well. As soon as I read this script, I told her, A, if I do this, I'll never work again. And B, if this character had pronouns, whoever played this character would be nominated for an Academy Award.
Exactly.
If they hit it with 50% efficiency, if they executed it 50% correct, this is the type of role that would be nominated. Now, look, I'm not saying I did it well, but it is that type of role. It is the top to bottom stereotypical role that people usually go, whoa, hey, and praise, But if he had pronouns, maybe it'd be looked at it a different way. But I'm very happy with the result, and I'm very happy with the feedback that the people that did see it have provided.
So, like I've had Jim on my show, and he talked about the supernatural experiences that happened during the filming of The Passion of the Christ. And I'm wondering, did you go through the same thing? Because I would imagine you did. I mean, filming this movie, it's this movie I feel can change a lot of people's lives. And I would imagine that you taking on a demon and playing that role. Was there any supernatural experiences happening on set, or did anything that you were like, well, that gave me the chills, or that's kind of creepy? Did anything like that happen?
Nothing happened on set. Absolutely nothing. And like I said, I go into this as a real believer. You have to believe that the armor of God is real. You go in, if I would go into it thinking, man, the devil's got a real shot at really destroying a follower of Christ, then I don't really believe in the balance of power.
Right.
I really believe going into it, the armor of God is around me. Now, having said that, immediately after filming, there's an oddly dense collection of bad events that happened. But look, could that have been anything? It wasn't to me. but it was two things around me. It was an oddly dense collection of tragedies around me, for the
Really?
family as well. You know, my boys lost their wrestling coach. One of my best friends, one of my closest jujitsu students, he passed away. One of my closest friends and his family. She's a single mother now, three kids. They're all my jujitsu students. You know, so there's a number of things that have happened that you know, should I have not been a part of this film, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. It just would have been, you know, a couple of bumps in life's road. But I have faith in my faith.
Right. And that's how I was too. Every time I'd enter the ring, every time I got into the ring to fight, I would show the audience, I'd make the sign of the cross and show the audience like this is who I represent, you know. And when you're going in there to fight, man, you're putting it all on the line. You may not come out of there, you know. And so that was a true test of my faith. So I would imagine you're the same way. What's your thoughts on everything happening right now with this big spotlight being shined on Hollywood, you know, and all this stuff coming out with the children and all this you know, the Diddy parties and all this satanic stuff. What's your thoughts on all that? I'm sure you never were you ever around that kind of stuff? Did you ever get invited to parties? Were you ever kind of like, hey, Sean, you want to make a move here? You want to come to this party and swinger party, whatever. I mean, were you ever kind of involved in that kind of a circle of people?
You know, I've never been to a Diddy party. I've never been to any of that stuff that's being talked about. And look, I don't know. Maybe when people, I mean, you and I both know, when you meet people, you can tell kind of who they are and where they come from.
100%.
And maybe people met me and said, yeah, that guy's not gonna, he's not gonna be cool with, you know, because you present your values and ethics with every sentence that leaves your mouth. So I'm sure people were like, yeah, he's not gonna.
He's
But
not
I
going to
don't
go
know.
that direction. He don't he
Yeah.
yeah.
There's not a single person alive that said, hey, Flannery, if you do this, we'll give you. Man, I think they know they'd have caught a slap, man. It's just
Right.
not who I am, and nor would I ever. It's just you, there's no video ever that's going to surface with of me at a Diddy party
You get
doing
derelict.
wacky.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
So what do you think of
it's
these actors that do that and they make these huge strides in their career? That's real, right? I mean, obviously that's a real thing.
Look, you know, it certainly sounds like it. And I'll tell you this about Hollywood. There, you're hard pressed to find, and people from middle America don't really get it. But when you're in Hollywood, it is just a normal, expected thing that it's almost like it's the way I grew up. At the end of a date, if everything went stellar well, you'd get a kiss. I mean, right now in Hollywood, a blowjob is a handshake. It just is. It's a different way of life, man. And everybody, top to bottom, if you find a really, really attractive girl that has not slept with 50 people, that's an anomaly.
Unheard
It's unheard of.
Unheard
I
of.
mean, it's really bizarre. Where if you go to, you know, in Tennessee somewhere in the Bible Belt, 50 people is like, what? It's just a different way of thinking. I mean, sex is a handshake. It's like, well, yeah, I went to the 7-Eleven. Well, yes, I fucked so and
Oh,
so.
look at these women now. I mean, there's a girl now that slept with 1,000 guys in one day. I mean, this is like becoming normal to the younger generation.
But
It's
here's
amazing.
the thing about that. There was a video that came out, I saw that, you know, where she was talking about it and she was crying. There is something in your soul that
Let go.
knows a chunk of you is missing. Now, maybe your OnlyFans account is padding your bank account. Maybe it's doing that, but you know you're vapid. You know you've lost something. My granddaddy told me something, you know, everybody's born with 100 virtue points. And every time a girl lets a fella bother her, she has to exchange a couple of those virtue points for it. So you go out and you look for a girl that hadn't done any negotiating. You want as many of that 100 as is there left.
You,
And
that
it's
is
the
so true.
truth. It is the truth every single time, and every dude knows it. You know, people may go, oh, hey, a girl's history, that who what do you care about her history? Man, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. There is not a male alive Everybody's talking about, like, what do you care what she did in the past? But get out of here. There's
You
no
always
dude.
pay
You
attention to
never
the
want to
track
walk
record.
into a restaurant and see a guy come up to your table and go, hey, Jill, good to see you. Who's that, Mike? Oh, hey, Mike. So anyway, Jill, good to see you. You know that that dude planted his flag on the moon and you're a cosmonaut, bro. You're
And
simply a
you're the sucker
satellite
taking her
orbiting.
to dinner.
Exactly. It's like no dude who is a dude wants that shit.
No,
But
I
you have, but
100%.
even in Hollywood, you have men out there acting like that's not a big deal. But make no mistake, dude, behind closed doors in the back recesses of their brain, they're going, that's not what I want. I'm going to pretend
100%.
it's okay because in Hollywood, it's deemed like, hey, man, it's okay. Everybody's cool with it. Who cares if she slept with 100 dudes? Who gives a shit? Right now, I mean, who the hell is going to date Taylor Swift? On YouTube, there's 50 dudes that you know have been inside her.
Yeah. Dude, I
Real.
love that you're saying this. I agree, first of all, 1000%. And I just feel now it's that the youth has been so watered down, so diluted by this corrosion of values that I don't even know how they, I don't even know how, when they're 35, 40, 45, and they don't have a family, they're not married, they're single. I mean, that's going to be, that's tragedy for a woman, especially, right?
Well, you know,
And
like
men, and
that.
men.
They're future cat ladies in the making. I mean, it's true, and it's really, really sad.
Yeah.
There is, dude, there is no real dude, a real man's man who wants a car that used. Nobody
No,
wants it.
no.
Somebody wants something. I don't want anything. You can't offer me anything of value that you've given away free to 30 dudes before me. You can't. There's no way around that.
It needs to be, especially if you're going to make it your wife and the portal to your seed, your children, you want it to be sacred.
And you wonder why the divorce rate is through the roof. Because the courtship process in Hollywood is this. Did you see the rack on that? That's the courtship
Right,
process.
right.
And from the female perspective is, did you see the car he pulled up in?
Yeah.
That's the courtship process. I'll tell you something.
100%.
When I met my wife, I interviewed her. I asked her every conceivable question. What do you think about, do you want kids? How are you going to raise your kids? Do you believe in the public school system? What do you think about fiscal responsibility? Who did you vote for? I asked her that. Absolutely. When people go, oh, your politics is different. No, it's not. My politics are a correct collection of my thoughts, my values, my secrets, my dreams, the way I want to structure my family, the way that I want to structure the rules that I operate with in everyday life. It's the same rules that I'm going to surround my family with. How is just like multiculturalism is a full scam. So is raising a family with liberal ideals and conservative ideals. Are you going to go to church or you're not going to go to church? Are you going to allow your daughter to date and go on birth control at 16? Or are you going to try and convince her to save something for her future? Which one of those? Because they
Right.
can't be conflicting. You have to be on the same team. And I interviewed her. When it came time, whenever we were like, oh my God, I love this chick. Let me find out, you know, and I know she wants kids. I do. Let me ask her all the questions. And we went through the list, man. And after that list, I was like, I am fucked. I am gonna marry this girl. She was, you know, one of the things that made me fall in love with her is when I met her and I said, so what do you want to do? You know, meaning with your life. And you know what she said to me? I put this in a movie. I put it in a movie called Born a Champion that I wrote.
Okay.
And she said, I want to be a mom. And we're in Hollywood. This is a girl with no tattoos, no piercings. I didn't know any dude she's dated. And she goes, I want to be a mom. I said, what do you mean? I said, so you, she goes, well, I just want to be a stay-at-home mom. I mean, you know, once I find my husband. And I was like,
That's
wow.
it. And women are like that today. They're all about putting their career first. That's what they're being taught. And that's why there's no fathers in homes. People don't really understand how important the father is. And that's why this generation, this younger generation, is so, in my opinion, so screwed up. I mean, it's like it's the misfit army, right? It's like the army of misfits that they're fatherless, they don't know what gender they are. I mean, it's just it's can mass confusion.
Well, look, here's the deal. Like right now, everybody wants to celebrate single parent homes. Look, if that's your predicament, let's make way. Look, if I lost a hand in an accident, I'm going to do my best with one hand. But that's not the gold standard. The gold standard is I would prefer to have two. And
Right.
if anybody goes, hey, a single mom can she can be a mom and a dad? Bullshit. I'm not saying you can't pull it off, but the gold standard is a male and a female input to every child. And there are
100%.
things that my wife can teach my kids that I could never dream of. Conversely, there are things that I teach my boys that she could never possibly dream of and effectively put in a man. It's just that's the recipe. That's the recipe. Anytime you stray from nature, things turn to plastic. And I'm not saying that you can't make do with an inefficient situation, but the gold standard is a man and a woman selecting each other correctly. The most important decision I'll ever make is who I chose to procreate with.
100%.
And then the second thing is
That's the
staying
biggest business
together.
decision you'll ever make.
Biggest decision you'll ever make. And if
Right.
you do it correctly, everything else will fall in line.
Right. I agree with
But
you as
that's why
well.
you have to have a mother and a father in every household, or you're gonna, whoo, it's real difficult.
And then you set the standard for your kids to do the same.
Yep.
So let me ask you this, with everything that's happening after 2020, right? A lot of stuff got exposed, a lot of things just came to the surface. How have you seen the direction of Hollywood shift? I mean, social media has basically taken over, man. Everything seems like to me now, everything's going towards the entertainment world of podcasting. Everything's going in that direction. I mean, I turn on Netflix now, man. I get paralysis analysis. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I don't even know what actors are in what movies. Nobody's paying attention anymore. Now it's all about influencers and numbers, and the new currency is attention. What have you noticed? What's the biggest revealing to you that's happened in the last 4 years, and where do you see this going with the direction that it's all going, and with AI now coming to the front lines?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best things about social media is the freedom of information. It 20 years ago, if somebody had an MD after their name, they were a god. Whatever they said about health was just dogma. Follow it religiously. Well, now we know that, holy shit, there's a lot of doctors out there that don't know a thing about nutrition.
Right.
There's doctors out there that'll see somebody overweight and automatically put them on Ozempic and not even ask about what they're putting in their body first. It's just bizarre. There's no mechanic alive that would rebuild your engine if you were putting sand in the gas tank every time. They go, whoa, hang on, let's stop putting sand in the gas tank. We won't have to rebuild the engine. Doctors are few and far like that. It's the same thing with everything. And the same thing with podcasters that you're saying. People are coming to realize that just because somebody is on a news night network, holy shit, they don't have all the information. And a lot of times they're tied into their advertising budget, so they have to say something in line with that. Whereas the podcasters, now everybody has their own channel. Everybody has their own TV channel.
Yeah, man, it's
People
crazy.
are quickly realizing that, like, shit, I don't need CNN. This guy's not
I
beholden to
trust
anybody.
him. I trust this source more so than the mainstream. The mainstream media has blown itself out of the water. They're done.
Well, it's the same thing with anything. If every time you invite your friend over, some china or a candlestick goes missing, eventually stop inviting them over.
Right.
People are finding that they invite the podcasters in and nothing goes missing. And
Right.
every time they do research, they're like, nope, shit, that's a government document. That's true. That's factually correct. I can cross-reference it 1,000 times, and what they're saying is accurate. And look, conspiracy theorists, they're all everything is true.
Yeah.
Everything that people said is true now. I mean, how do you live your life now knowing that there's archived footage of you of de Blasio going, I get a burger if I get,
Yeah.
oh, is there a French fry component with this? It's just like bizarre.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bizarre. And
Which
there's
to
a
me,
huge awakening with society. They're
right. And so where do you
I
see
don't,
this going? Where do you see
some
Hollywood
people,
going?
what's that?
Where do you see Hollywood going now? Because I mean, if you see Trump, he said, all right, I think it was who did he name? Sylvester Stallone, John Voight, the ambassador of New Hollywood. I mean, there's a new Hollywood being formed. And a lot of people are going to start gravitating towards that, especially people with like core ethic values and morals, right? So, do you see, and I would imagine you're going to be one of the front runners, I mean, of this. Do you see that going in that direction? Do you see this going into a new avenue, a new Hollywood?
Yeah.
Especially, hold on, especially with the Epstein list coming out, because it's coming.
Man, look, I hope the Epstein list comes out. Look, anybody that thinks, somebody committed bizarre circumstances like that, the video cameras, it's like, come on. Look, one of the things that it proved is that everybody's gut instinct is generally more effective than any news outlet. And I'll tell you about Hollywood. Yes, I see Hollywood turning, but there's a safety and a danger. There's good and bad. For example, Zuckerberg now is suddenly a free speech advocate. During
After he
Biden,
met with Trump.
exactly. When he met with Trump and suddenly he's about free speech and yes, we don't do that anymore. It's like I don't trust people like that. That when Trump comes in power, suddenly he's not for,
He just
shadow
really, he just
banning
goes with
and
the tide. He just,
artificially pushing information and artificially withholding information. I don't believe that. It's just like whenever now, and they're like, there's stacks of bodies everywhere. Look, if the sky is falling, I'm going to know somebody who got hit in the head with something that fell from the sky. And during this time, I didn't even know anybody that knew anybody that got hit in the head from the sky falling. Yeah, there's some older people that the numbers like, well, he was 85 and he had diabetes. And but there wasn't people dropping like flies. And everybody's gut instinct, look, came out and everybody was talking about that. My gut instinct was like, all I know is that there's somebody screaming really loud for me to do this, and I don't trust them. My instinct is like, this guy is lying to me. Do I know anything? No, but I'm smart enough when somebody comes up and they threaten me that I have to do this for the. I'm like, I don't trust you, bro.
About
I don't.
a
Yeah. How about a donut? We're giving
Krispy
free donuts.
Kreme. They're so
It's
commercial.
bizarre. So yeah, I see it turning. Look, there's a huge resurgence. Here's what I don't know. I don't know if there's a resurgence in faith or if that people are now comfortable with disclosing their faith, but suddenly there are. People are out there genuflecting and claiming Jesus as their savior. Maybe it's because they feel more comfortable. Maybe it's because they've seen the light. I don't know. Some of them I trust, some of them I don't. But yes, there are movies that are being made today that would never be made 10, 5 years ago. So I don't know. I know Hollywood will always want to follow the money, but they're also still making nonsensical decisions with greenlighting movies about things that none of your peers support.
So you think I think you're right on this. They're going to kind of like blend into the movement or whichever direction the herd goes, they're going to go with it. That's what evil does, right? So it kind of just blends in and it becomes a chameleon. I'm already seeing it with the politicians, right? They're already like, well, we better kind of, mission a podcast. Newsom has a podcast. They're bringing on conservatives. They're trying to blend in now, which is pathetic. What I think is going to happen once this. And I hope it does come out. I don't have a psychic crystal ball or anything, but once this Epstein list comes out, if it does, hopefully it does, that's it. That's the nail in the coffin. That's it. That's when people are going to go, ooh, that's who's on here. And I mean, I've heard some names, right? And I'm going to be like, ooh, yeah, look at that. Look at that. And it's done. And have you heard of any actors or, and you don't have to name anybody, but that can't sleep at night? Because I've heard of a few that are like terrified.
I haven't, but I'll be honest with you, that's not my circle. And I don't say this to sound, ooh, I'm so grounded and Hollywood is so plastic and fake. But realistically, I've been a martial artist since I was 9. My whole Hollywood career, I was training at night. So I've been to two premieres in my entire life. And it's not because I wasn't invited to all of them, it's because I would miss training if I went to these events. And I was more in love with training jujitsu than I was with going to these big parties. So don't I would have I, if I had nothing else to do, I probably would have gone to the premieres. It was like, oh my God, it's Hollywood, it's a big, it's mansion theater. But I just had something that I loved more. So I don't know those circles I at all. So I don't know anybody that even could be on the list. I mean, my peer group is for their fighters and their martial artists. It's the one closest I did Boondock Saints with, Norman Reedus. I mean, he was the biggest TV star from The Walking Dead on the planet. But outside of him, he's really the only Hollywood phone number that I use. I mean, I just I live in Oklahoma. I have a tight peer group, and I've never even heard of the Diddy White parties until this all came out.
See, that's
I've never even
why.
heard of Epstein until the whole the whole thing came out. You know, it's but if somebody did something like that, I hope the curtain falls and they're exposed.
100%. Right. And so that's why it takes someone like you to do a movie like Nefarious and powerful movies like Powder, Boondock Saints, Nefarious, which is now top five favorite movies. I didn't know you did jiu-jitsu, man. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that about you. So how long have you been doing that for?
Oh man, since 98. So 27 years, man.
What got you into that?
I was doing I was doing a I was at Jerry Banks in the Palisades. And this guy came in, he started putting mats down on the floor. So it was a karate studio. And I looked at the patch on the gi and it said RICKSON Gracie. And I thought, well, I know Gracie. That's Hoist Gracie. I said, this Rickson guy must be his partner, some plumber probably or something. Little did I know, Hickson Gracie's the champion of the family. And I was talking to this guy. I didn't know it was Hickson at the time. I said, man, I've always wanted to train jiu-jitsu. And he goes, hang on a second, man. And he went in the back and he came out and he threw a gi at me. He goes, put the gi, man. Tonight you train with us. I was like, what, really? I can train jiu-jitsu? He's like, yeah, man, you're gonna love this, man. Man, after that night, I became completely addicted to jujitsu,
Wow.
and it really changed my life.
Is there any other disciplines that you practice in besides jujitsu?
I'm sorry.
Is there any other disciplines that you practice in besides jujitsu?
Oh yeah, I mean, subsequently, I've gotten into wrestling and Muay Thai. I mean, it's right now, it's pretty much all wrestling and jujitsu. Train both gi and no gi, but I started in Shotokan, Goju-Ryu karate, then went into taekwondo, then did judo, but really found Muay Thai and jujitsu. After I found those, everything else kind of dissipated and went
Right,
away.
right,
And it's
right.
wrestling, Muay Thai, and jujitsu.
Yeah,
And
I agree with
I'll
you.
train tonight at 6. I trained last night at 6. I'll train tonight at 6. It's a
You
huge,
know,
both of my boys have trained since they were 4 years old.
I think even now, man, like it's your kids have to learn self-defense. They have to learn jiu-jitsu because everybody else is. You have to just level the playing field. Everybody's learning this.
Well, here's the way I look at it. You know, and I've taught a kids class now for dang near 20 years. Baseball is an elective. If your kid doesn't want to play baseball, he doesn't have to. There's no problem that's going to be solved on home plate. But to me, swimming is a life skill. It's not an elective.
Right.
Fighting is a life skill. It's not an elective. When some of my students' parents go, well, you know, he doesn't really want to do jiu-jitsu anymore. He wants to try basketball. I'm like, okay, well, what about math? If he didn't want to do math anymore, would you be okay with like going, okay, he didn't want to do math anymore, so we're going to stop and we're going to do pottery. No, motherfucker, you're going to keep learning
Right,
math.
right.
It's just like fighting. I don't give a
Yeah.
shit. You don't have to compete. You don't have to do tournaments,
But you
but
better
you are
learn how to
going to
defend
learn.
yourself when the time comes.
Yeah, you're going to learn to, if somebody approaches your mom in the Walmart parking lot,
Yep.
you choke that motherfucker unconscious.
100%.
And
I
now
agree with you
my boys have
100%.
fallen in love with it, and now they love it. They love to compete. They love to compete in wrestling as well. But and the same thing with swimming. They fell in love with swimming and wanted to be on a swim team and compete. But it wasn't about that. It was like, you're gonna have to have a command over the water. So if you're on a boat one day and somebody falls in, you don't even have to. You don't only have to save your own life. You have to be able to save somebody else's life. You're not gonna go through the life going, well, if only I could have swam, I could have saved my sister's life. Bullshit. That's
Right.
a skill.
It's not an elective.
It's not an elective, man. And I will go out to say, if you raise a kid that can't fight and can't swim, you are a shitty parent.
100%.
I will say that to your face, and I believe that. You have done your child a disservice. You have put them out in the world with a revolver with no bullets.
Yeah, 100%. What do you have coming up? Do you have anything coming up? Do you have any movies you're getting ready to film or anything like that? Do you have anything promising coming up in your direction?
So, you know, right now we're working on the script for Boondock 3.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I have a big conference call later today with Reedus, as a matter of fact, who one of the best dudes in Hollywood, a super super solid cat. So
Any
we're gonna do
parts?
that. And really, I'm a dad. I mean, you know, me and my boys are gonna go. We got to move some mats at the academy at 1 o'clock.
How old are your boys?
10 and 13.
Perfect, man.
We just moved to Oklahoma. I think they from Texas. They between the two of them, they had seven Texas state championships in wrestling, and we just moved here to Oklahoma, and they both won the Oklahoma State Championship, so they're both Oklahoma State champion wrestlers, and obviously jiu-jitsu kids as well since they were four. So they love it. We do it every day. It's a ton of mat time. Mommy's there at every waking moment with us as well. It's a great way to bond. And it's a great student desk, the jiu-jitsu mat.
So I guess what I learned from you today is that you're a Christian first, a family man, and Hollywood is last. It's in the back seat. It's kind of like you are a family man, you're a Christian, you put God first, and that to me is everything, bro. So I learned a lot from you today. Like this is a very eye-opening podcast, and you're the man I thought you were.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. I love movies. I love the art of movies and storytelling. But I'll tell you this, to compromise my value, if I have to get a job at an oil change facility, I'll do it. I'm not going to fold at the knee and do anything that I'm not proud of or that I'd be embarrassed for my boys or my wife to see. There's not a film that I'm going to do where I'm going to go out and do stupid stuff. Oh, it's only make believe. You're only pretending to be married and miming sex with another one. I'm married. I'm sorry. I'm
Yeah.
married. It's not gonna happen. So, I think being okay with that allows me to know that if it goes away, I'm still gonna be who I am. And I'm okay with downsizing if I have to.
Folks, Sean Patrick Flannery, man. What a hell of a podcast. I really appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, brother.
This is
Anytime.
big. Yeah, so get out and see Nefarious if you haven't seen it already. And obviously everyone knows your other movies, Powder, Boondock Saints, and Boondock Saints 3 coming. Let's see. This is gonna be awesome. Sean, thank you so much, bro. I really appreciate it. Where do people find you? Like, where do
I
show
mean,
some
you know,
kids.
all my normal social media. A lot of people go, "Do you run your own social media account?" Man. Come on, man. I'm not Brad Pitt. I'm a D-level blue-collar working actor, man. It's like,
Nah,
of
bro,
course.
you're
Hey,
every
look, man.
acting great as actors him. I mean, you're there.
Well, I appreciate it, but I mean, I don't have a team of people that run anything. If you see something on social media, unless somebody hacked into my shit, I wrote it. My Instagram is at SP Flannery. My Facebook pages are both me. I mean, if you send a message and somebody responds, it's me,
Right. That's awesome. Sean, thank you, bro. Thank you so much.
Anytime, brother. God bless you, man. Godspeed.